Good evening. Merry Christmas. On this holy evening, we are grateful that you've come to share with us as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the one who came among us to be the light of the world. Whether you're with us online, and I know there are people online, or in person with this beautifully filled sanctuary, we're glad you found your way to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Everyone's welcome here as together we search the scriptures, we listen for the echo of good news in the sounds of the carols, the choir, the handbell, and we experience God's mysterious peace through candlelight and Holy Communion. If you're a first-time guest with us tonight, we have a gift for you, so please stop at the Welcome Center as you're leaving. It's a wonderful gift that has things that were handmade by people in our congregation. We do invite everyone to complete a connection card, put it in the offering plate, and if you've got prayer requests, put those in the offering plate too, because we want to pray for you. I'm Pastor Lynn, the associate pastor, and together with Pastor John, Pastor Lindsay, Deacon Loretta, we are hoping this evening you will get to know God a little better, discover again that Jesus loves you, and be inspired to serve him.
How do you capture the wind on the water? How do you count all the stars in the sky? How do you measure the love of a mother? Or how can you write down a baby's first cry?
Shepherds and wise men will kneel and adore him, seraphim round him their watch will keep, nations proclaim him their Lord and their Savior, but Mary will hold him sing him to sleep.
When the light, angel light, Please be seated.
Tonight, we light the Christ candle, the final flame that completes our Advent journey. This light represents the fulfillment of God's promises, the Word made flesh, and the hope of the world born in a humble manger. God of glory, on this holy night, we stand in awe of your love, a love so vast that you chose to enter our world as a vulnerable child. As this candle burns brightly, may its light remind us that darkness cannot overcome your glory.
Fill our hearts with wonder, as the shepherds felt when they heard the angels sing. Fill our minds with wisdom, as the Magi sought when they followed the star. And fill our lives with gratitude, as Mary and Joseph must have felt cradling the Savior in their arms. Lord Jesus, light of the world, shine in us and through us. May your love be our guide, your peace our foundation, and your joy our song as we celebrate your birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all. Amen.
Will you join me in the opening prayer? Living God, on this holy night we gather to stand with shepherds, amazed at your glory, to sing with angels, rejoicing in your work, to wait with Joseph, trusting in your promise, to sit with Mary, cradling your love. May the good news of this night inspire us to tell the world of your great joy, for to us is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Glory and praise to you forever. Amen.
Thank you. reading from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to be registered. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to be registered with Mary, to whom was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and so she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Thank you.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, choir, for leading us in song. Thank you to the strings and to the horns that have been a part of our worship. Thank you to the bells, and thank you for Ella and Violet Buck for leading us in some solos. That was inspiring. It takes a lot to get up in front of a congregation to preach and sing and play bells, and I admire your courage. I am still nervous to talk in front of large groups, and so for you to be able to do that is inspiring for me. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who came in the form of a helpless baby so long ago, bringing hope and joy and love into the world. Amen. Well, it just released a study about this year that suggested that on average, American families will spend $1,104 on Christmas presents this year. Before you get too caught up in the averages, I want to say that the median is actually around $500. So there are some folks out there who are really bringing the average up for the rest of us. Now, as we got ready for Christmas, perhaps some of you have gone out and you've visited all the stores and you've done all the things and you're exhausted tonight. You walked in like, whoo, we made it to the company parties and we made it to all the festive gatherings and we have eaten far more than we had planned to during the holiday season. And some of us had a bit of an honesty check, myself included, when I walked onto the scale and I'm like, whoo, you got to get back to exercising a little bit after all of these fun holiday gatherings. Needless to say, as my family was getting ready to get together for the holidays, we decided that we were going to do a secret Santa in our household. And so people all draw names out of a hat so that we could share. And all of us brought gifts for nieces and nephews. And so we had a gathering this last Sunday. But in preparation for that, a group text went out to everyone in the family. And they were, what do you want for Christmas? And it was like crickets, right? There weren't a whole lot of people chiming in the midst of that. So I decided to appoint myself as honorary recon guy. So I reached out to all of my family members, and in an attempt to not expose myself as their secret Santa, I reached out to everybody equally. And then at the end of that, when everyone had shared who they were, what they were interested in, my mom kind of called me out. She said, John, you've asked everybody else to share exactly what they wanted for Christmas, but you haven't shared what you're interested in yourself. Guilty as charged. And I recognize that this particular year, perhaps more than any other year that I can remember, I was really struggling to come up with a Christmas wish list. And I was wrestling with why that is. And I recognized that for years of my life, I was caught up in Apple's new releases of products that came out every 6 months. I was an iPhone junkie. I was excited with the new cameras and the slimmer package that it came in. And each and every one was billed to change the world and make life better and take crisper pictures. You would be able to capture and catalog your memories better with every single release of the iPhone. But now that we're at 14, I'm here to tell you that I don't think that there's all that much better about iPhone 14 than 8 or 6 or 4 or 3. In fact, I think they all look fairly similar. Yes, they can now recognize my face as I lift it to see. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I am recognizable at 7 o'clock in the morning when I wake up. And it just gives me the error message. Are you sure that's you? I'm like incredibly humbled by that. Needless to say, there are all these marketing messages in our world today that encourage you to buy this product or that, perhaps buy a new vehicle or a new set of clothing that will transform your life for the better. You will be more confident, more bold, more strong, more courageous, more happy, more overjoyed. I don't know about you, but there is a lot of lying in advertising. Perhaps you came into the doors of this church in a different place. Maybe this last year has been challenging for you. Things have been filled with turbulence. You've received bad news. There's been ups and downs. Perhaps there's been an argument in the family. Perhaps you've been divided over the politics that have been a major part of 2024. Maybe there's been a sickness, or perhaps there's been a separation. Maybe you're grieving as you walked into the door. what I recognized in preparation for this year's Christmas season is that a lot of aspects of my life have become fairly routine. We live, work, and send our kids to school in the same town. I basically wake up every morning, get them breakfast, get them to school, come to church, come here, then I do my work, and then I go home and basically do the same thing in reverse, put them to bed, and that day repeats itself over and over again. And I found myself thinking about these men that we remember on Christmas Eve called the shepherds. Every one of their nights may have been exactly the same. Wake up as everyone else was going to bed, go out to watch the fields in the middle of the night, observe them, some of the strangest animals on the face of the planet, not a whole lot of intelligence inside the flock of sheep, and yet there they were with their shepherd's crook, watching them each and every night, waiting perhaps for something different to happen. And they found it. All of a sudden, they were visited and told a message that Jesus was going to be born into this world, and suddenly the mundane, repeated experience of watching these sheep every single night turned into one of the most extraordinary nights that the world had ever seen. The world was flipped upside down. I've wondered what it would be like to be the shepherds who saw this massive light in the sky, who recognized the angel voices telling them exactly where the birth of the Messiah was to take place. And sure enough, on faith, they follow that bright light in the sky and they go to where Jesus is born and they open up the doors. Can you imagine the joy of being there for the very first time? I can. Because just this last Sunday, after I had constrained myself to come up with something that I wanted for Christmas and work myself to try to figure out what would bring me joy, as we all gathered at my sister's house, all of a sudden, we went from this bare tree where there almost was nothing to everybody bringing the gifts and putting them under the tree so that it was overflowing. There were gifts on the side of the tree. There was gifts everywhere. And my nephew comes into the room because he was distracted by our kids. They were playing in the basement, doing what kids do, making joyful noises. And he comes up and sees the Christmas presents under the tree, and he goes, "Yes!" And he calls over to our kids, "You guys, you gotta see this." And I looked at him and I was like, "That's the joy I'm looking for, buddy. If I could just plug into that." It's the same kind of joy if you've seen the movie Back to the Future, the original one, when they're trying to go back to the future, and sure enough, they go back in time, and Doc is surprised to discover the fact that he's developed the science and the secret to going forward or backward in time, and he knows exactly the hour that the car needs to drive underneath the electrical wire that is over Main Street in that movie. And if you remember the scene, you can recall the fact that he's literally plugging in the electric cord the moment the lightning strikes the clock tower, and he's shocked and he falls down to the ground and the car disappears back into the future, and there's Doc in the next scene and he sits up and his hair is barely messed up because it always looks that way, right? Like he's just been electrocuted, and he sits up and he has this incredible joy on his face, this great excitement knowing that the science that he believed in was confirmed by the fact that the car was no longer there, and he walks over into the burning tire tracks down Main Street, and he starts dancing. Yes! That's the joy I imagine the shepherds having the first night that they realized that the hope that they had dared to believe in came true. They imagined that someday Christ was going to come into the world. The Messiah was going to come and deliver them. The world was going to be transformed. Their life was going to be better, and it was far better than a Maybelline commercial or an Apple advertisement or some sort of sell job on the newest version of a Ford, Chrysler, or GM, to be inclusive of all models. The truth of the matter is, these shepherds, from the moment that they saw Jesus inside the manger, they were ecstatic and they were jumping all around. It says that they went into the streets of Bethlehem and they danced around like crazy people in the streets. The thing about their reality is they tapped into something that filled their hearts with joy. They were ecstatic about it. And I got to thinking about joy in preparation for tonight, and I realized that all of us are coming into this evening with a wide range of emotions. Perhaps your joy is complete tonight. You're sitting with your family, all the Christmas presents have been purchased, and you're like, I just can't wait for that moment of peace where we all lift the candles into the night and we get to have that joy. On the far side of the spectrum, there are folks who are just ecstatic about where they are at in the world. Everything's up and to the right. They're excited. And then there are folks, as I mentioned earlier, who are struggling, who have experienced some huge loss in their life over the course of this last year or maybe in the last decade that you're carrying with you as you walk into this space. Maybe you're anxious about the future, or you're concerned about the fact that there's war in the Middle East or in the Ukraine or anywhere else around the world where peace is a stranger. Maybe you're anxious about the world that we're living in where things cost too much and people can't be fed and there's struggles all around us. I've found joy many times in this community of faith over the last year. I've been ecstatic about the fact that about a year ago we challenged our congregation to raise money so that we could buy a van for Redbird Mission. And fortunately, we were able to raise enough money to buy two vans. And what that meant was that people living in 3 of the 10 poorest counties in the entire country were going to have access to volunteers, volunteer labor, who will repair their homes. If you can imagine what it's like to live in a home where there are leaky holes in the ceiling, or perhaps that's your experience right now, or you can imagine what it's like to have holes in the walls of your house and there can be rodents and insects that come in, or holes in the floor that you have to step around on your way into the kitchen, these vehicles will be going down to Redbird, Kentucky. They'll be put into service and they'll become mobile tool carts so that people's homes can be completely repaired, not just today, but 10, 15 years into the future. I was down there in Redbird when they received those vans, and they said, this last year we've lost several vehicles to maintenance issues and everything else, accidents and what have you, and these vans are exactly the good news that we needed this year. I've been proud of this church because over the last, 10 years, people have been quilting and creating all these beautiful creations in our congregation, and several folks got together and said, let us have a quilt auction, and they put all of the quilts on display inside the community room just outside the sanctuary, and people came in and bid on them and bought them and took them home, and perhaps some spoiling Christmas surprises. Some of you might receive them tomorrow morning as Christmas presents, but they were made with love from this congregation, and those dollars that we raised through the quilt auction will continue to be a blessing in this church for generations to come. There are people who serve at Cass in Detroit and St. Andrews, and they pack Noah lunches in this congregation. We send people out all of the time, and there will be folks going down to the U.S.-Mexico border as a part of Rio Bravo in the near future to bless our neighbors in Mexico. There are folks who travel all around the world to Liberia next February. There's a group of 18 folks, some of whom are from the church, who will help install water wells in Liberia. And the list goes on and on and on. Those were some of the things that bring me a tremendous amount of joy. It's been so exciting to me to watch our church continue to develop and grow over the course of the last couple of years. We're building on a solid foundation. It's been amazing to watch children participate in musicals and the experience of them sharing their voices and their dance moves. If you haven't seen one of the musicals at our church, I encourage you to mark your calendars for them in the future. To hear the voices of kids sing the songs of our faith is enough to give anybody joy. I was thinking a lot as I prepared for this message about a book that was given to me by my mother-in-law a couple of years ago at Christmas time. It was a book written by Archbishop Desmond Tutu and His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And these two elderly men got together for a week and they talked about what it means to have joy. If you know their story, both of them lived through hardship, one through the realities of racism and apartheid, and the other through a hostile takeover of his home country and the violence that accompanied that. And they talked about how they were able to experience joy even in the midst of some of the most brutal things that human beings can witness in the world. They reflected on how joy is something that can coexist even while suffering is going on. They identified 8 pillars of joy: perspective, humility, humor, acceptance, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. These virtues, if you have them, you can allow yourself to experience joy even when everything else around you is coming apart. Perspective is one of my favorite things on that list. Perspective, to me, is highlighted by an illustration that was used by the evangelist Billy Graham many years ago during one of his sermons, and he shared that in the year 1809, the headlines all around the world were all about battles that were taking place in Europe. All of Europe was on fire. People were killing each other in mass. There was pillaging. And the storylines that were being shared, printed, and talked about in the streets were all about death, destruction, fear, anxiety, and a general spirit of hopelessness throughout the world. Perhaps some of you are feeling that in these times. And yet, in that same exact year of 1809, while some of those battles were raging on all around them, I ask you now, in 2024, has anybody ever heard of the Battle of Wagram? Has anybody heard of the Battle of Ekholm or Aspirin? Probably not, unless you're a great student of history. Those were the things that were on the mind of anxious people in 1809, but in the same exact year, the following babies were born into this world. Perhaps these names will be more familiar to you: Edgar Allan Poe, Charles Darwin, Abraham Lincoln, Felix Mendelssohn, William Gladstone. Many of these folks went on to shape the future generations for centuries to come. In the midst of battle and bloodshed and anxiety and fear and consternation, there was a group of people who were born that were going to transform the world. The thing that strikes me most about the Christmas story is I imagine after the shepherds had their night of partying, they went dancing into the streets, and then probably the next night they were back on the night shift. Maybe nothing drastically changed for them, but because that child was born, the hope that they had deep within inside their hearts was confirmed, and they were able to believe that God was still up to something incredible in our midst. Is it possible that even now in these anxious times, babies are being born that will shape the future? At the end of the day, after Christmas Eve, when you all go out back to your homes, I wish that I could say that this service will make your life better. I wish that I could say that you being here will transform your life for the good, but then I'd sound a lot more like an Apple commercial than I ever would a preacher. Instead, as a preacher, I join my voices with Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama, who say, "Your joy can coexist with the suffering of this world. You can find joy in the ordinary things. You can find joy when your nephew runs into the room and sees the Christmas tree covered. Yes! It's there if you look for it. Even amongst the battles that you're facing in this world, a baby has been born for all of us." And I want to close with this. There was a Bible commentary by the name of Matthew Henry, and a lot of us preachers have his commentaries on our shelves, and most of us never read it because it's dry and boring, but this happened in his life. He was robbed one night, and he had this experience. Despite his anger and frustration of having his money stolen, he reflected later on the things that he could be thankful for, even on one of the darkest nights. He was thankful for 4 things. The first was, "Let me be thankful first because I've never been robbed before." Second, "Although they took my purse, they did not take my life." Third, "Because although they took it all, it wasn't much." And fourth, "Because it was I that was robbed instead of I who did the robbing." Some of us this evening have an opportunity to follow a kind of God that comes in the form of a baby in a manger that set the entire world in motion. The kind of faith that allows you, even on a day that's going worse than any other day that you could possibly imagine, to still have joy even in the midst of that. That's our faith. A faith that gives hope, love, joy, and peace. Thanks be to God for that baby born in a manger. Amen. And so we come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to come forward and receive these elements of grace. In just a moment, we'll invite you to come forward by the diagonal aisles, and there will be stations up here on both sides of the sanctuary to receive these elements. I want to let you know that this isn't our table. This isn't a United Methodist table. It's God's table. And what that means is everybody's welcome. You don't have to be a member of this or any other church to come forward and receive these elements. In the Methodist church, we practice what's called an open table, which means everybody is welcome to receive this heavenly banquet. And so we begin with these words of grace. Holy and living God, creator of heaven and earth, in the same way that you came in the cry of a baby in a stable, your breath filled us on the day that we were born. You are with us even when we turn away. You have drawn us to your love time and time again. We lift our hearts with gratitude and joy. We give God thanks and praise.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and found no room at the inn, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. And yet your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. Your word became flesh, holy and incarnate on that night long ago. And on the night before Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, telling them to take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
When the supper was over, he took a cup and he gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so with joy, we offer ourselves in service and in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Like the heaven's light from above on that night so long ago, O Lord, may you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, O God, and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Make them be for us the newborn peace and hope and joy and love, so that we may be for the world these things, strengthened by your presence within us.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. I want to invite those who will be assisting us in communion to come forward. In a moment, our ushers will dismiss you and invite you to come forward by the diagonal aisles to come forward to receive these elements of grace. All has been made ready. Will you please come and feast at God's heavenly banquet? We'll have a gluten-free section in the middle. If anybody is interested in receiving gluten-free elements, you're welcome to come to the center place so that you can receive those elements there. Each of the servers of communion will give you a piece of bread, and you'll have an opportunity to take a cup and receive the elements of grace. All has been made ready. Will you please come? Amen. Do you want Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for this gift of communion and the opportunity we have to be together this night. We ask your blessing on this time. May it be an opportunity for us to remember the love that came to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Allow us to be united in body, mind, and spirit with your will for us in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you heard John in his message talk about the many mission opportunities that are here, we have missions locally and around the U.S. and internationally as well. Your gifts tonight, collected by our ushers as they come forward, will go to continue to support those mission efforts as we spread Christ's love and bring peace in places that may not know peace. We thank you for your generosity this evening. Thank you.
And now as we gather, we have an opportunity to extend the light that is currently shining and burning from the Christ candle throughout all of this sanctuary. And so a moment, us clergy will light the candles of the ushers who will extend this flame into the entirety of this space. And so we invite you to take in the light and the beauty and the majesty and the joy and the hope and the love of this Christmas season as we light our candles together. as we conclude this evening on what I imagine historically was not such a silent night, we get to take a moment to look at these flames that are flickering before us, and we're reminded that Jesus challenged his disciples to do even greater things than he did when he was among us. And so as we extinguish these flames, they transition from the end of these candles into our hearts, and we are responsible for carrying the light of Christ out into the world. You may know somebody who needs hope. You may know somebody who needs to be loved. You may know somebody who needs joy or peace in their lives. And so as we extinguish these flames, may the light of Christmas continue within each and every one of us. That is the Christmas challenge as we depart from this day. May we go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Merry Christmas, Church. Thanks be to God. Amen.